My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to have a teaching, and it's going to be called The Truth. Now, I'd like you to get your Bibles out now. This is a Bible study, and I'd like for you to get it out and get your pencils and papers and write these down, and just let's really study this. Look at, pay attention to this, because this is tremendously important. Now, what do I mean by the truth? Well, you see, when we're dealing in Paul's epistles, and every one of these letters that he wrote to believers. You know, he calls them saints, he calls them brethren. These are all believers. And then every one of these people have already believed the gospel for their salvation. They've been grounded in the gospel. That's all Paul preached. But when he wrote these letters, he didn't say gospel every time when he was talking about gospel. He used things like the truth. And when he said truth, it was the gospel. And also the power of God was the gospel. You remember? He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. You see? And many times he'll say, the power of God. Well, that's the gospel. So the truth, we're going to show you, when he talks about truth, he's talking about the gospel. It's very important that we understand that. And we'll just go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13. I call this the second most important verse in the Bible. You heard it, those of you who listen to all these, you heard this many times, but you can't hear it enough. It's important. Let's start with verse 12. Ephesians 1:13, we'll start with 12, that you should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The next words? The gospel. The gospel of what? The gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed what? The gospel, or the word of truth, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's just wonderful. And people need to hear this. This is salvation we're talking about. The gospel for your salvation, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, that's proof that you're saved. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, Paul says in Romans chapter 9, 8, verse 9, if you don't have the Spirit, you're none of His. But the only way you get it is to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the only way you get sealed with the Holy Spirit is believe the gospel of your salvation. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Turn back to Romans. Romans chapter 1, and let's look at verses 18. Romans chapter 1, verses 18. Let's see what it says here. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. But what the truth is, he's talking about the gospel. When they hold the truth in unrighteousness. You see, what does he mean by that? Is that when they're not looking for the gospel for their salvation and they go someplace else, another way to Judaism, it's holding the truth in unrighteousness. So it's the truth is the gospel. Let's look at verses chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, verses 8. Romans chapter 2, verses 8. It says, but unto them who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteous and indignation and wrath. He said they do not obey the truth. What's the truth? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And let me show you. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. Show you what happens when you don't obey the gospel. Go to 2 Thessalonians. Go all the back. This is the end of his writings almost. It's just before Timothy. Colossians. And you got 1 Thessalonians, and then we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and look at verses 6 or 7. Let's start at 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You see, if you didn't want to believe the gospel for your salvation, if you could read this, you can understand how important it is. You see, it's the most important thing you could do in this whole world, because you have no future if you don't. If you don't obey the gospel, believe the gospel for your salvation, Jesus told us to. Paul went to him directly. He said, I didn't get this gospel from man. I didn't get what taught it by man. This is Galatians 1:11. I didn't get taught by man, but I got it from the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This came directly from him. That's salvation for the body of Christ. And if you don't believe it, it just says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. I mean, that's pretty final. There's no ifs and buts. Everlasting destruction. Let's look at Galatians. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2. Go back to Galatians. Back to the left. Galatians chapter 2, verses 5. Galatians chapter 2. Verses 5. It says, to whom we give place by no subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel may continue with you. It's combined there, the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. And he combines them there, but it just shows what truth is all about. The truth of the gospel. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Just turn the page in verse 1. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Not obey the truth. What bewitched them? Well, what happened was Peter and James, John's converts, the converts of the 12, who believed that Jesus was the Messiah, would come into the churches of Paul and tell them, these people who were saved by the gospel, that you've got to be circumcised in order to be saved. You've got to keep the law in order to be saved. You see, you don't add nothing to the gospel, not a thing to the gospel. And so let me show you. Just turn to chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, and look at verse 2. It says, Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I also testify again, every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. And whosoever you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. You see, that's what the gospel of grace is all about. That's what he taught. There's nothing that we do. We add nothing to the gospel. We believe that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead, and God takes it from there. He does everything. You add nothing to it. It doesn't say that you add baptism, you add church membership, you don't add nothing to it. Because Jesus did it all. And when you believe that, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And God moves in and lives with you. And he keeps you until the day he comes for you, as far as that's concerned. While we're here at 5, just look at verses 7. He said, You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? See, there we go, truth again. They didn't obey the truth. And when they didn't do that, they just totally got themselves in a real big problem. Because God can't handle that. When he died on that cross, it was finished. You don't put nothing for your salvation except believing the gospel. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23. This is really neat. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Just go on to your right. Go to your right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And here's the way you can see that he did it all. And it's just fantastic. If anybody tells you you can lose your salvation, you take them to this verse. Verse 23, it says, And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, I pray. He says, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what it said? He's going to preserve everything, your soul and your spirit and your body, and it's going to be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. When you believe the gospel, that's exactly where it is. And look at verse 24. It says, faithful is he that calleth you. Who is that? God. He's the one that called you to the gospel. And guess what? Who also will do it. Do what? Preserve you blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's up to him. It's not up to us. It's up to God. When you believe the gospel and he moves into you, he will take care of you till the day you die or God comes back, one or the other. It's just praise the Lord. What a verse. What a verse. It's not nothing that we can do. It's what he does. And it's what he does through us. It's just beyond our imagination. Let's look at Colossians. Turn back to Colossians. Colossians, don't forget this verse we just did. It's just wonderful. Go back to Colossians and let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 5. We're talking about the truth, see. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. The word of truth is of the gospel. It's the gospel. He uses those in parallel right there. The word of truth of the gospel. Let's look at verses, chapter 1, verses 21. Let's look at 21. This is something else that's just fantastic. Mark this in your Bibles. It says, and you, verses 21, and you that were alone, once alienated and enemies in your mind of by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. He's got the gospel. He died for your sins to present you what? Holy, an unblameable, an unreprovable in his sight. Think about that. He's going to present us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. He's going to do it, see. But there's an if there. Now, this is something you've got to realize. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature that is under heaven, by which I, Paul, am made a minister. Think about that. It's hard to even comprehend, but you see, it's all dealing that you have to be settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. It didn't say from the hope of taking Jesus as your Savior, did it? It didn't say the hope of believing in Jesus or taking Jesus in your heart. It's a hope of the gospel. You see, people, it's what he did on that cross is what saved us. And that's why he pointed to it. Because if he hadn't died on that cross to pay for our sins, we would be lost and couldn't do anything about it. But he did die on that cross. And for the body of Christ, the church, he pointed to the cross for salvation, to what he did on that cross. He died on that cross to pay for your sins. And that's the gospel. And you got to be settled and not move away from the hope of the gospel. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Just go to the right. Just the next. You got 1 Thessalonians. And then you got 2 Thessalonians. And look at this. Look at chapter 2. And let's look at verses 10. This is just fantastic. It says, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. You see, if they don't believe the gospel, they perish. I didn't say that. That's just what it said here. Because they did not receive the word of the truth. What's the word of the truth? The gospel. That they might be saved. I mean, how in the world could you be more plain? They didn't receive the gospel that they might be saved. And for this cause, because they didn't do that, God shall send upon them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. What is the lie? What it really is Judaism. That's what they received, Judaism, and not the gospel. And it says, and that they might be judged who believe not the truth. There we go again. They're going to be judged because they believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I mean, those verses right there just show it so plainly that we have to believe the gospel. It's the word of truth. We have to believe it. And look at verse 13. It says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, look, from the beginning, see, I think it's before the world was ever made, he has chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. You see, you have to have the Holy Spirit. That's proof of being saved. There's no ifs and buts about it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. It's just hard to even comprehend. But then it says, sanctified of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's the gospel. Unto which he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's just tremendously important, the gospel is. You know, people said, if I had to prove one thing in this scripture that to be true, the gospel is the easiest one. All you got to know is how to read. It's just laid out for a fifth grader could understand it. But the world has been totally blinded from it, from Satan. They've just been blinded from it. What a beautiful, what these verses are just something else. Okay, let's look at 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy. You just turn the page. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and verses 4. It says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. How could it be any more? Come to the gospel. That it would have all men be saved and come to the gospel, the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as ransom for all. He died on that cross for all to be a testified in due time. For I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Just, that's all he did. That's all he did was preach the gospel. I mean, he just couldn't do anything else. He couldn't do anything else because that's what God told him to do. And no matter what kind of problems that came about, it didn't make any difference. He went and continued to preach the gospel. Let's look at 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and let's look at chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and let's look at verses 24 through 26. Actually, I want to go. Let's just go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's just read the first two verses right there. It said, though thou therefore, my son, he's talking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and that the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see, God, in his foreknowledge, this is really something. You know, we in Timothy are called the pastoral epistles. And they tell you how the church is supposed to be organized by having, you know, a, a preacher, a pastor, and then evangelists and teachers and, you know, and that type of a thing, because the churches were supposed to preach the gospel. But he didn't really, probably didn't realize even when he said this. But down the road, they aren't preaching the gospel. So what did he tell them to do? He says, go to faithful men who should be able to teach. See, I learned the gospel from a faithful man by the name of Les Speldick. And he's just an old cattle farmer. But he taught me the gospel. I never heard it in church. Never. So he said, go to faithful men. Now look what it says in verse 24. And these faithful men that are teaching, this is what they got to do. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and in meekness, instructing those who oppose him. Boy, I've got tons that oppose me. If God, perhaps, will give them, those that opposing them, repentance to the knowledge of the truth. To the knowledge of the truth. See, we're talking about the truth. What is it? The gospel. That they would repent and come to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who have taken them captive by him at his will. You see, that's what I keep telling these people. They have to believe the gospel, and they've been totally blinded by Satan. Totally blinded by Satan. Let's look at you. Turn back to 2 Corinthians. Turn back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at verses 3. If this doesn't make you understand, I don't know what would, how Satan has control of the people who do not believe the gospel. It says, but if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. You see, if they don't believe the gospel, they're lost. I didn't say that. The book did. If the gospel be hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost. And then look what it says, in whom the God of this age, who's the God of this age? Satan. Satan's the God of this age, hath blinded the minds of them who believe not. Believe not what? The gospel. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan has taken over virtually all the churches in this world. And God has had to go to faithful men to preach the gospel because the churches aren't doing it. They say that 95% of the pastors preach in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John every Sunday. And there's not one bit of gospel in that. There's no salvation for the church there. You see, there's nothing wrong with studying those. We want to know about Jesus' walk on this earth, but there's no salvation for us there. People say, oh, that's not true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting. That's not salvation. It's not to us. It's not to us. It was to the Jew. If God wanted us to be saved the way the Jew was, by believing in Jesus, why did he take Paul and separate him apart, and why did he have him preach the gospel for salvation? Why did he do it? Why didn't he just have Paul go right up and join Peter, James, and John after he was converted and spend the rest of his life preaching Jesus? But he didn't. He didn't. He took and set us apart, totally apart. He set the Jews apart. They're totally set aside now. And he called out a whole new church. And this whole new church was based on believing the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead. And that's how God did it. And you've got to believe it. You've got to obey it. If you don't, you're lost. And it says, you're lost. Just as plain as day. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter, no, let's go to no, Titus. Let's go to Timothy and then let's go to Titus. Timothy and then Titus, chapter 1, verses 1. It says, Paul, a servant of God and the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God, elect, and acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness. The acknowledgement of the truth. The truth is the gospel. This is what we've been pointing at the whole time. Look at verses 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments. You see, we're not involved in Judaism. We're not involved in anything part of Judaism. What we need to do is just turn to the word of truth. It says, the men has turned from the truth. They've turned from the truth, and they've put Judaism in their churches today. And in doing so, they're lost. Totally lost. And it's just a heartbreak for me. Because, like I said, I have spent my whole life in churches that do not teach the gospel. In fact, I have yet to find one that teaches the gospel. And it's just heartbreaking. And so that's why that I took on this ministry to teach the gospel. And we're doing everything that we can. And God has totally done it all. Had nothing to do with me. He speaks through me. And everything that I say comes directly from His Word and teaching the gospel. And I just pray that your people would wake up and understand before it's too late. Before it's too late. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would be with every one of these listeners that heard this teaching, that they would truly believe the gospel for their salvation, be filled with the Holy Spirit, that Christ would live in them, and that they would live lives that would glorify you, and we'd all be together eventually in heaven together. I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.